Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I want to get to Donald Trump and Never Trumpers, but with a long lead-in to set the stage, homosexuals in Hollywood, if you think about the last decades. At first, it was only acceptable to have a homosexual in a Hollywood film or a TV show if you were making fun of them. They were corny, over-the-top, bizarre characters. And if it was presented in a humorous way, then after that stage, the homosexual could be the good guy, but he had to be the good guy. He could only be the good guy. Now, the homo can be the bad guy. Homosexuals today in Hollywood could be the bad guy, and it shows this normalization of homosexuality, not only in the culture, but even largely in the church. There is this TV program, Downton Abbey, on Masterpiece Theater from PBS. Now, I had never heard of the show before this weekend. Cheryl and I laugh when some film wins Best Picture, or some singer wins the Grammys, sold the most, or the number one stand-up comedian. And we look at each other and we say, we've never even heard of these people. And they're number one. Or a hit Hollywood sitcom goes off the air after seven seasons at number one. We never even heard of it. We hear of it because it's now going off the air. So there's this show, Downton Abbey. It's one of these historical period dramas. This one set in England from the 19-teens to the 1920s about this aristocratic family and their servants. So Christians from a Denver area church had encouraged one of our producers and his wife, you got to watch the show. It's so great. So they tune in to the first episode and behold, two homos kissing. First episode. So they turn it off. One, because it's disgusting. And two, they don't want to support it. And three, they don't want themselves to become acclimatized. It's like Disney taking that FOMO, what's her name, Ellen DeGeneres, and in Disney World, down in Orlando, having an entire attraction presented by, in video, and narrated by Ellen DeGeneres, because they want children to grow up looking to her as a hero so that those kids will be inoculated against Jesus Christ. Because either Jesus Christ is right or the homosexuals are right. They're not both right. Either Jesus is right or sex outside of marriage is right. Either Jesus is right or the public schools and the culture are right. And so when the culture gets your kids, either through entertainment or the government school system or however they get them, social media, then what they've done is they've inoculated your kids against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my producer and his wife, they see this episode and they turn it off. So they mention this then to their friends who've highly recommended this show. And their friends said, oh, well, those two, they're the bad guys. They're the butlers or something. They're the bad guys. That's like the frog in the pan of water that's on a stove gradually being heated, right? At first, even if you go back to Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and all, and they would dress up like women and be silly, then if you track it through Hollywood, there would be the over-the-top flamer who could be in a Hollywood movie, but he wasn't taken seriously, and it was just over-the-top. And everybody would laugh at him, but it would be like good-natured laughing, humorous. Then they moved from that to where the homosexual had to be and could only be the good guy. And the homosexual was the good guy. And now we've come to where they feel extremely confident in their public position, of course. And so now homosexuals could be the bad guys. A homo could be the villain. In fact, that's tremendous progress. If the homosexual is the bad guy in a major Hollywood production, that shows that they have arrived. So the Christians who encourage this, watching the show, they're not aware of that, and they're not aware of themselves being acclimatized to this. When the Boy Scouts said that they were now going to promote homosexuality through the acceptance of homosexual scouts, now think about that, right? The Boy Scouts go camping. That's a major part of what they do. They go on trips, week-long trips, to Catalina Island and Boundary Waters in Canada and the U.S. and Key West, all over the country. So you have a boy who says, and the Boy Scouts are from young Cub Scouts up to Eagle Scouts, to 18 years of age, and then some of them become Scout Masters, adult leaders of the Boy Scouts. And so then you have Boy Scouts who say they are attracted sexually to other boys, and they're in all these circumstances with those other boys. That's why we don't let Boy Scouts go in tents with Girl Scouts. That's why we don't allow that, because of the expectation of sexual attraction. So when a culture has gone insane and has accepted sexual immorality, not only accepted it, but promoted it in an intolerant way that you can't not accept sexual perversion. If you do, they will attempt to drive you out of civil society if you don't accept it. So we've gotten to that place where it's ubiquitous in the church, in the Boy Scouts, in the schools, in entertainment, in business. So when the Boy Scouts did this, began to affirm, promote homosexuality, Cheryl and I decided to pull our kids out, and we had three boys in it for over a decade, and our oldest son was within a year of being an Eagle Scout. It takes a lot of work. It's quite an achievement, but easily he could have become an Eagle Scout. So why did we pull out? The pack that we were a part of, their charter was owned by a Christian church that's very much faithful to the Lord and a solid evangelical church, but the church did not realize the danger to kids all over the nation, and including to kids in their own church in some years from now, maybe 5 years or a generation from now. And so the church, instead of shutting down their pack and giving up their charter, they just continued. And we knew that our kids going to that pack, that they would be safe, because we've been a part of it for over a decade. We knew all the leaders. We knew the kids. But we were concerned for the other kids in the other packs, in the other dens, and the Boy Scout troops that belong to other churches, and that this would still be presented as a safe environment for children by Christians who instead should be warning others, you can no longer trust the Boy Scouts. So that's why we pulled out. And what happens is Christians, because we all enjoy good entertainment, to have a wider menu of entertainment, we say, well, these shows, they promote homosexuals as the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. Usually not ugly, but believe me, coyote ugly. And so Christians wanting to have this wide menu of entertainment to choose from, they just are acclimatizing themselves to homosexuality. And then, of course, their friends who they recommend pro-homosexual entertainment to, and to their children and their grandchildren and their church and so on. Let me give you two examples of how intolerant the culture is. One is a gender reveal party that we went to this weekend. Gender reveal party. You know what that is, right? A gender reveal party. They didn't used to have them years ago. It's where the parents, they're pregnant, mom and dad, they themselves don't know. They don't know if they're having a boy or a girl. And so the doctor does the ultrasound, he writes down whether it's a boy or a girl. Of course, that's hate speech, all that whole process. But he puts it in an envelope so they don't see it. And they bring the envelope to a baker, and the bakery, they make a cake with blue cake beneath the frosting if it's a boy, and pink cake beneath the frosting if it's a girl. So the parents have no idea. You have a gender reveal party, and you cut into the cake, and then as they cut into the cake, that's when the parents find out, and all their family and friends find out, and it's a wonderful time of celebration. It's just awesome. So I'm going to give you this example from a gender reveal party and an example with Jordan Peterson. You know that guy, he's anti-feminist, he's a Brit, and he's great at exposing the absurdities of feminism, the gender pay gap, and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, we go to the gender reveal party. It's for one of our seven sons and our daughter-in-law, their second child. And we find out then that the filling is going to be red velvet. Have you ever seen a red velvet cake? It was as delicious as could be. It's from Masterpiece Cake Shop. You know the guy who got sued by the homosexuals for not making a homosexual wedding cake? But why wouldn't the cake be blue or pink? Because Jack Phillips is being sued again over a gender reveal cake. So I don't know all the details, but from what I could piece together, some homosexuals asked him for a gender reveal cake. They wanted a transgendered kid, and he refused, so he's being sued for that now. It's not only Jack. It is Christians all over the country. If you go to kgov.com/homos, I don't know if you've ever typed the word in your life, homos, H-O-M-O-S. You'll find out when you go to do it, you'll find out your fingers can do it. It's possible. kgov.com/homos. At the very top of that page, it's a debate I had with a well-known homosexual activist. At the top, it has a section, we just want to be left alone. Oh yeah, and bake us a cake. And that one section lists all these lawsuits that have been brought against Christians by homosexuals trying to force others to affirm their perversion, their wickedness, their sin. So the gender reveal cake, poor Jack couldn't sell a gender reveal cake. So our kids went to a party supply where they got two huge balloons, and they would be filled with either blue confetti or pink confetti, because the homos haven't yet sued the party supply shop. And I tell you, when they popped, they had two big balloons, so mom and dad both have pins. And even our two-year-old grandson, he had a pull toy. And when he pulled it, it would either be a blue ribbon or a pink ribbon. When they both popped these balloons, I mean, their dining room was packed. We had so many people there. It was so much fun. And it was just an explosion of blue over the whole room. It was awesome. It was so fun. And so even that kind of joy will be denied to Christians, to those who know right from wrong, to those who want to honor God, to those who trust in Jesus Christ, who said that God made us male and female. That's how intense the hatred is of the left. That's how intense that they would deny you even that if they can. And you got to read that article. Oh yeah, and make us a cake. We just want to be left alone. And oh yeah, bake us a cake. Just go to kgov.com/homos, H-O-M-O-S. So the second example of intolerance is from Jordan Peterson himself. He's a hero to many conservatives because he's very good at combating the left on a number of issues, except for himself. I think he's an atheist. Is he an atheist? He's not a Christian. He's an evolutionist. He draws illustrations from us being animals because he's an evolutionist. And so anyway, it's that sad. If you love Jordan Peterson, you'll pray for him and you'll try to reach him some way if you possibly can. So, Kathy Newman interviewed Jordan Peterson. This is over in England on their Channel 4. Now, Channel 4, here in the U.S., Channel 4 would be a channel in some city, like in Denver, KCNC, or whatever. Well, in these small island nations like New Zealand, Britain, they're small enough so that one channel designation could be used to cover the entire nation. You know, they have many transmitters, but they're known by their channel designation. Anyway, Channel 4 aired this popular interview with Jordan Peterson, extremely entertaining, about why the pay gap is not what feminists claim it to be. In their ignorance, their willful ignorance. He was really interesting. It was a thought-provoking interview. But of the things that Peterson said that were sad, there was one that was a capitulation on his part, though he doesn't know he has capitulated, but he has capitulated to the intolerant left. It was regarding the use of preferred pronouns, right? In the UK, they were considering a law like we already have in New York City, for example, that would severely penalize you for intentionally using the wrong pronoun, right? Some guy is dressed as a woman and he wants you to call him she, her, and you refuse because it's a guy and you don't want to play into his delusion. There's this gender dysphoria. And if you love your neighbor and your neighbor is deluded, you don't want to play into their delusion. Unless you're mocking them or it's better for you that you play into their delusion. So selfishly, you play into their delusion. But if you love them, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't want to play into their delusion. So one of the things that he's well known for is strongly opposing this law and saying he would never, ever, ever comply with such a law. He's not going to allow leftists to control how he thinks and how he speaks. So that's all fine, right? How is he capitulating? Well, he points out that he thinks he's defending himself to this feminist Kathy Newman. He says, I would never refuse to call a transgender in my classroom by their preferred pronoun. I would never refuse that. Why would he never refuse that? Why? He made a pretense of not allowing others to tell him how to think or how to speak. But he capitulated because he knows, even with all his fame, that his career would be crushed with 10 times the opposition he currently has if he referred to a transgender man as he or him. He doesn't have the option in the world that he seeks to be accepted by. Even to his own narrow segment of that world, he doesn't have that option. He has been controlled. He has a pretense of not being controlled, but he has been controlled. So, those are two examples. The gender reveal cake in poor Jack Phillips, who's not poor. I mean, he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the riches of the heavens that Jesus wants to share with him as a son who inherits the Lord's kingdom. So that's just awesome for Jack. But poor Jack, for all the hassle that he gets just for trying to be a baker, you know. So I said I want to get to Donald Trump and the Never Trumpers, but I'm still on my way there. So Katie Couric, you know her from NBC News, the slut Katie Couric, the tramp that she is, and Matt Lauer, the pig dog who's been fired for sexual harassment. Well, there was a roast of Lauer in New York City, a grotesque sexual roast where the jokes were overtly, disgustingly sexual, graphic. Did I see the roast? No, I didn't see the roast. In fact, the media were not allowed in, although it was such a large audience. It was 1,900 people. So you can't know everybody who's there. So the media did get in. Donald Trump was also in the audience. So if you think about sexual harassment And then you realize it comes from Katie Sluck Couric and Matt Pigdog Lauer, both of them naming female coworkers and talking about the sex they have had, they should have had with one another, with Lauer, in vulgar terms, extremely vulgar terms. And then, you know, the audience would feign shocked laughter the way they act like 13-year-old boys in the men's room, right? That's how adult liberals are. And so you think about this event, and there Donald Trump is in the audience, and here are some of the world's most approved liberals in front of nearly 2,000 people talking about what female coworkers do sexually to one another, to Matt Lauer, or what they should do or they have done in front of the whole audience. There was nothing secret about it. There's nothing secret about the culture's objectification of women, not in Hollywood, not in the culture generally. You know, increasingly, tragically, this is also entering into the Christian culture. You know that, right? Along with the promotion of homosexuality generally in Christian music, even in worship music. The sexualization of women is well underway. Sometimes it's subtle, where many church leaders won't even recognize it, but it's there, permeating the worship experience, praise music, worship music. In other cases, it is more overt. And then from a number of major Christian singers, there is even the open promotion of the perversion of homosexuality. So all that, and I think of Donald Trump sitting there watching all this. So then, you know, he operates in the Hollywood circles, being a celebrity. And I think about that Access Hollywood tape. And when that tape hit the news, and I only read a transcript of it once, and it was so filthy and disgusting and discouraging, the person I was most devastated for was the young man that was escorting Donald Trump through the Hollywood lot. That was a guy who worked for some TV show, and Donald Trump has a mic on, ready to go do whatever, some Access Hollywood segment, I guess. And Donald Trump is talking to this young guy who, hey, if he could be a billionaire someday, if he could be a celebrity, if he could have his own show, and Trump is telling him what you can do to women if you succeed. So I was devastated for that young man to be told that by this incredibly successful older man. Think about that. Think about an older man telling a guy maybe 30 years old, here's what you could do to women if you're as successful as I am, because they'll let you. It's devastating. And that brings me to the Never Trumpers and loving and hating Donald Trump. Somebody said to me in passing this weekend, well, Bob, as a Never Trumper, blah, 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 blah. And I said, wait a minute, what do you mean as a Never Trumper? Why would you say that? I love Donald Trump. I love him. What do you mean you love him? All you do on the air is you say how he kills children, he gives money to Planned Parenthood, he appoints judges who agree with Roe v. Wade, and he regulates how to kill babies. That's all you do. You're always doing that. What do you mean you're not a Never Trumper? I love not only me, but all those we could think of, and there are many, who are not pro-lifers, they're abolitionists. They're trying to end abortion. And who have seen through the political lies that other Christians want to be told. They want to be told lies. So when we've seen through that, we've realized that there are Christians who are using Donald Trump to beat up on the Democrats. They're using Donald Trump to swat the media. They're using Trump to make Hillary look like a buffoon. So unless something changes. Fast forward to when we're all standing before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, when all Christians, by the way, they're saved. They will not be judged at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is not to find out if you're guilty or not guilty. It's the sentencing phase. The trial period is your life. The trial period is your life. And it has been appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. When you die, you have either chosen Jesus Christ or to rebel against him. That's what you've chosen by the time you've lived your life. So all those who have preferred to reject him and to live forever without him, then at the great white throne judgment, they're brought up from hell, from Sheol, the grave, where they're waiting, and they stand before Jesus Christ. It's a judgment to determine the severity of their punishment. That's the judgment. When Donald Trump is standing there before Jesus Christ, if he had a defense attorney, but he won't, because at the great white throne judgment, there are no defense attorneys available because they're all themselves standing waiting to be sentenced. So when you're waiting to be sentenced, you're not representing someone else. Donald Trump, if he had a defense attorney, he might say, well, look at all the babies that Donald Trump did not kill. Sort of like Herod, right? When Herod slaughtered the innocent in Bethlehem and Ephrathah because he had heard that a king of the Jews was born there. So kill all the children 2 years old and under, all the male children, kill them all. And on Judgment Day, God is not going to look at all the kids that Herod didn't kill. He's going to look at all the kids that Herod did kill. God didn't look at all the apples on the tree that Eve did not take a bite out of. He didn't say, well, Eve, there's 900 other pieces of fruit on this tree, and congratulations, you didn't take a bite out of any of them. No, he looks at the disobedience. He didn't look at all the women that David did not violate in Israel, or all the men that David did not murder. He looked at how David mistreated Bathsheba and her husband Uriah the Hittite. That's who God looked at. And so that's what will happen with Donald Trump. And so the Trump supporters who are using him because they so enjoy how he smacks down the left and the liberals, and then they misrepresent him and they lie about the kids that he is paid to kill and the judges that he has nominated, like Gorsuch, who reject the child's right to life and who will regulate how and where you can kill these children, then they hate Donald Trump. That's called hatred. To lie about someone, even to someone, to give them your full support without warning them that they are going to stand before God and be judged unless they ask God to forgive them and they stop killing innocent children. So I think about Trump and what he has gone through in his life, and so much of the deception is now being echoed by the Christians. May God bless you.